You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, your host, joined by new panelist and returning WNCW alum Armando Belmas, coming from Charlotte.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Armando. You can find out more about him at BeStillPlease.com. We've also got returning to the panel Bob Hinkle and Jeff Eason. Today, we're talking about the upcoming festival season and, in particular, Merlefest.
It looks like a really, really good festival this year. And we were talking privately earlier about how the festival organizers have done a really good job of kind of spreading out the talent. And it makes it kind of difficult to see all the acts that you want to see because they're not all piled up on Friday and Saturday. This year, they're starting off strong with Randy Travis on Thursday, which is going to be one of the bigger draws of the festival, especially for the local folks there in Wilkesboro, where I know he has a really strong following. And then the very last act on Sunday is going to be Robert Plant and the Band of Joy. And I'm really looking forward to that because not only do I like Robert Plant, but I'm a huge Daryl Scott fan who's going to be in the Band of Joy.
Wow. Can we go now? Should we go now? We'll leave right now. Should be down and get good seats.
Well, and another newcomer to Merlefest this year, which I think has excited a lot of my friends, is Lyle Lovett and his big band. And they'll be playing, I think it's on the Friday night.
This seems to be a strategy of bookending the festival with such big names Thursday and Sunday. Care to speculate on what they're trying to accomplish?
Well, I know when they didn't do this in previous years, you know, say 10 years back, they'd have the real big push of fans come in for Friday and Saturday. And I think what this does is it kind of evens the crowd throughout the entire four-day festival, making it a little bit easier for people to get around on the festival and maybe just make things just more smoother in general.
It almost seems like Merlefest has become more of a destination event as opposed to just going to see the bands, which is how it was several years ago. Now it's just like you're guaranteed to see great bands no matter what. They're spread out all over the place, and there's so much more to do, and it's just a lot of fun. And I think the growing festival circuit with Bonnaroo and the Hangout and all those big festivals has kind of almost pushed it to become a little bit more than just a festival of concerts.
Well, I mean, there's a big community organization. It's called Merlefest Outreach that on Thursday and Friday, the bands who are in town for that, it's usually early in the morning. They go out to different schools and to YMCAs and to old folks' homes, and they play concerts as part of the Merlefest outreach. So people who don't necessarily go to the festival can still benefit from the fact that it's there. I saw an incredible show by the Waifs at Pleasant Valley Elementary School a couple years ago as part of the Merlefest outreach program. And so I think they're making, and I'm sure this is true with Bonnaroo and some of the other festivals as well, they're making a concerted effort to work with the communities, not to where they just have a big onslaught of people come into their town for a couple of days and then leave a bunch of trash. They're trying to make it very, very community friendly.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's I was thinking also of the Leaf Festival, which is up near Black Mountain, and it's very much the same thing. It's a family festival. It's a dance festival. It's an arts festival. It's a little bit of everything on top of the music, which is from all over the world to begin with. So I think you're right. I think it's a destination. It's a little more of an event spread out over time than it is go to see a particular band.
Well, I know on Fridays of Merlefest, all of the Wilkes County public school children are bussed in for free, and they spend the day there. And they're, you know, some of them are more interested in playing hacky sack and frisbee than going to see Doc Watson. But they get the experience, and I'm sure as they grow older and they get a better appreciation for the music, they start becoming Merlefest regulars.
Well, you should go see Doc Watson. I mean, he is a national treasure, and he's getting on in years.
Born in 1923.
So you might as well, I mean, you know, go ahead and relish it because his voice is still good. You're going to have several opportunities to see him. But Merlefest is, like you say, Armando, it's one of those sort of destinations. It's more than just the lineup itself, which is great, which is really good for our region.
Going back to the thing about the kids coming on Friday, you know, it's even if they don't understand the importance of the musicians that they're seeing then, a few years down the road, they're going to look back and be like, oh yeah, I remember Doc Watson played and I was there and I saw him, but I didn't really understand. But yeah, I saw him when I was 7, you know?
Yeah. And not to be morbid, but you know, some of these guys are not going to be around forever. I mean, I treasure the fact that I got to see Etta Baker 3 times at Merlefest. I mean, she's a Carolina legend. She's no longer with us. And that's going to be true of Doc and Ralph Stanley and some of these guys that you get to see every year at Merlefest.
David Holt told me that he actually for the first time since he's been playing with them, which is several years now. So I miss a note about 3 months ago for the first time.
Well, I know from interviewing him recently, his hearing has become a little bit of a problem as well.
Now, WNCW is going to be at Merlefest as always, and we're going to broadcast the shows and performances live on 90.9. And so that's just going to be for everybody there in Wilkesboro proper. They'll be able to hear a lot of the festival when you're at your tent and so forth. So we're definitely looking forward to another round of Merlefest in 2011.
And the flip side of seeing some of these, you know, legends that have been around forever is every single year at Merlefest, I discover a new band that becomes one of my favorites. A few years ago, it was Belleville Outfit playing for the very first time. The kids had gotten together from several other bands about 10 days before, and their big coming out party was on the Hillside stage at Merlefest. Last year, it was Lark and Poe, sort of an offshoot of the Lovell sisters. Two of the Lovell sisters went on and got some really cool cats from Nashville to play with them, and they formed this band called Lark and Poe, and they are just phenomenal. And I'm not sure that they're coming back, but I really hope they do.
You know, and even about 7 or 8 years ago when the Avett Brothers first started playing up there, and now they're, you know, on the Grammys with Bob Dylan.
Exactly. I remember that first year that the Avett Brothers came to Merlefest, they played on a small, I think it was the songwriter stage mm-hmm. one time, and the buzz was immediate. It was like a little version of Beatlemania because the women were just really into the Avetts. And by the time Sunday rolled around and they played on the Hillside stage, it was just packed. And that was over the course of 3 days.
They're handsome guys.
Yeah. Very good look. And that Bob, that bass player? Not bad at all.
We'll talk
conversation
about that
later. For another time. Yes, yes.
He's a handsome man.
We're talking about Merlefest 2011 today on What It Is. What are your thoughts? Email us whatitis@wncw.org, and we'll spotlight your comments on our Friday edition of the show. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Armando Belmas, Bob Hinkle, and Jeff Eason. Until next time.